Okay, and we are on air.
Whoa! Welcome, welcome!
Hello!
Now, obviously, Caden and I have been at it episode after episode for the last 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
And it would be no surprise to have an episode today.
Yeah.
No, we're messing with you guys. Of course, you know we haven't pumped out an episode since, I want to say, December.
Ooh, yeah.
We didn't have any intro music. Let's start it here.
Okay.
No. Keep playing. Keep playing. Okay. Give me a beat.
Boonch, 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 boonch.
Meet you downstairs at a bar at her. You broke up sleeves and your skull t-shirt. Say, why did you do what you did today? And break me out until the title obey. Dun, 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 dun. That's good enough.
Alright.
We'll work on that for the next episode. I'll write us a song. I've been writing songs actually at work.
Have you?
Here, I'll play it for you.
Alright. Is this even registering me?
Yeah, it is, yeah. This would be our first official episode with the new microphones for all those who've been complaining.
It's the first 2020 cast too.
It is the first 2020 cast. It's the first COVID cast.
Oh yeah.
It's the first beach cast. We're actually at the beach, guys.
We should describe the setting where we are.
We're recording on the beach, guys. Harborville, Nova Scotia. That won't dox us at all, but and we're prepping for one of the most amazing sunsets out there.
Oh my God, it's already beautiful.
Caden, do the weather. Do the weatherman while I get this wrap out here.
I was just gonna say it. So it's a high pressure system, nice and clear, calm wind. We have some cumulus and some convective activity over New Brunswick, so it's creating this beautiful line of cumulus and some alto.
There are a lot of females on the beach as well.
Oh yeah, very sexy.
Kidding, we're just looking at rocks, unfortunately. Mm. Keep going.
All right.
What else we got? Cumulus.
Than...
We got the alto stratus. Is that what's going on?
Yep. And I'd say that's it.
It's so calm. The sun is shining bright in our eyes, and it's going to make for a beautiful sunset, no doubt.
It's finally summer, too.
It is finally summer, and it's warm out enough that we can actually record on the beach. Yep. We might make a habit of this. Maybe we'll even have a crackling fire for those who like that sort of ASMR.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's stop talking about all the things we're going to do. I'm going to sing this song for you here.
Okay.
So, where is it? Unless it's been deleted. I think I know it in my head. Okay, so... Here it goes. So it's supposed to be, provide the context here. So I work for a landscaping company now. My hands are all dirty. I got sap and dirt on my hands, and we're working on a property, and actually, I'll give you the story of today. Today, we're working on a property, and we're in a ditch somewhere in Canning, and out of nowhere, this truck came barreling down, and the tire fell off, because I guess the lug nuts were a little loose, and the whole truck tire came off, and the truck pulls off pretty successfully, but this tire is like barely 100 kilometers an hour at me and my coworker in the ditch. We both jump out the ditch, but it jumps out the ditch too.
You dodged it, right?
Well, this thing jumps out the ditch too. And yes, successfully, I dodged it. We weren't too worried about it, but
it rolled
a good like 200 meters at least. And then it went into this pond. But if this thing would have hit us, it would have been a solid like broken leg, maybe a concussion or something. Like, wow. I would have flipped if this thing would have hit me. But that was today's happenings. But the reason for this song that I made was because we were at this workplace. And we hadn't met the lady who was working there. And we were really confused why she wouldn't come out. She never came out. Like, usually when people are... they come out and nitpick about like whatever lawn issue they got.
Yeah.
This lady never ever came out. I guess she was working really late nights or something. But finally she comes out, and we thought it might be the nurse because this is like an old folks sort of place.
Yeah.
And she's maybe in her 40s or something. And she's got a big truck. So we're like, okay, maybe she's like the nurse, but like a nurse with a truck. I was like, okay, that's definitely a country song, so I'm going to write a song about it. So,
Nurse with a Truck?
So we're just shoveling dirt and laying down sod, and I figured I'd write a song. So here's the song. It goes like this. It goes a little like this. It goes, Mama had a cough, do-do-do-do-do-do, didn't, yeah, her temperature was off, do-do-do-do-do, didn't want to get involved, do-do-do-do-do-do, so I bought her Tylenol, do-do-do-do-do-do, said it wasn't strong enough, do-do-do-do-do, so puts a liquor in her cup, do-do-do-do-do, and I gave her a couple puffs, do-do-do-do-do, then I called the nurse in the truck, do-do-do-do-do-do, came the nurse in the truck, do-do-do-do-do-do, said your mama looks rough, do-do-do-do-do-do. She might soon be dust, do-do-do-do-do-do, said the nurse in the truck, do-do-do-do-do-do, said the nurse in the truck. Okay, that's how it goes. So now that we got you guys all calmed down and situated here on the beach with us, let's get into the serious stuff. All right.
How
so, Caden, fuck my life.
All right.
Tell me what you think about this, the latest events in this whole... Black Lives Matter apocalypse that's happening here.
Ooh,
and I mean that in the most rebellious tone. Have you seen the video?
Like, of George Floyd?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it really breaks your heart when you see that happen. Like,
it broke my heart, too.
Yeah.
I was, like, I was just tearing up in rage. Like, yeah.
In just the thought, like, the last words he said was asking for his mama.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whew, that hit me, like...
My gosh.
Yeah.
If you walk through it, like, the first couple minutes, people are yelling at him, shouting, you know, get your knee off his neck.
Mm.
Everybody knows now that it's not at all protocol. Like,
right.
Why not kneel on his fucking chest? Like,
yeah, yeah.
This whole time, he spends the entire time. It's absolutely mind-boggling. This guy's just purely trying to kill the guy. And they're giving it second-degree murder now. Did you hear that?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they might be giving the other guys third, but I don't think so. I think, what do you call it when you, involuntary manslaughter?
Isn't that...
Something along the lines.
Second-degree murder, that would be, like...
Well, the man who did it was second-degree murder, but the three other cops are getting involuntary manslaughter or something along the lines. It's like if you let your grandmother die because you're not feeding her the right pills.
Right,
like...
And you have the capacity to stop
abuse. Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah. And they definitely did. And they're just fucking standing around. Oh, my. I want to know what's going through their heart, through their mind. Like,
oh, they
maybe
probably feel really bad now.
They like that. He may have been their superior. They may not have actually had much of a say, but my God, I would punch this guy.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for the people that were there that surely feel like they should have done something about it, but ultimately they would have got, you know.
Right.
Well, considering what was happening, I understand why they didn't step in.
Like,
I think
usually,
everybody thinks they might have, but...
Well, people are told not to question the authority, right?
Yeah.
And they don't know it...
People assume that that's the righteous... Yeah. You know, he was acting the right way or acting according to protocol. It's ridiculous. And he does it all on video. That's mind-boggling.
Mm.
It's hard to imagine, like...
Yeah, and... There was also this other video, like, after all of the protests across the United States.
Yeah.
There was this one video. Did you see it? It was, like, this old man, 75-year-old man that got just shoved to the ground.
Is that the one where he's on the ground and the cops are walking over him, sort of?
No. This is a different one. So, I think it was in Buffalo. There was a 75-year-old man out there protesting, and he's, like, moving slowly. He's obviously not a threat. And... The video captures it all. This man is obviously not a threat. And then this, like, 25-year-old or so riot police officer just takes his shield and smacks him, right?
Oh, my Lord.
And he goes falling down, and his head hits a bike rack, okay?
Fucking hell.
I think the police officer got charged, actually, because of that.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
My gosh. I saw this meme of it was like Ben and Jerry on the news. They'd both been arrested because they were in a protest. I guess they were acting.
Ben and Jerry.
Yeah, they were looting in a protest or something along the line. And the caption said like, "I'll always buy this overpriced ice cream from now on."
Yeah.
You're right. In the last seconds of the video, he's calling out for his mom, and everybody's kind of making a mention of that being being that it's like one of the most like primitive, I don't know how would you describe that, but
it's like the relationship between you and your mother that defines almost all of your life.
At that point, I feel like he'd probably lost any idea what he was really what was really happening there. He was just, he knew he was dying.
Yeah.
That's, and to imagine how that family feels. He's got a kid. I think he had like a young daughter.
Okay.
My gosh. And then the cop's kneeling on him for another 3 minutes after he's dead. Like, what possible, or sorry, after he's unconscious, what possible purpose could you have for that? Like,
yeah. Oh, I don't know.
It's like shooting a dead body after you've already shot someone.
Yeah. Well, it's quite interesting that, what is it? I think Minneapolis actually just disbanded their police force.
Entire?
Yeah. I think for the most part, and what they're doing is the city council's coming up with a complete new redesign of how the police force is going to work in the city.
Yeah.
Which is good, because
I'm hoping they do that everywhere.
Because ultimately, the police is supposed to be this benevolent figure, which is supposed to promote justice and fairness among people. The goal of the police is to make sure every single citizen is treated fairly and that someone isn't taking advantage, right? But if the police is doing that themselves, then justice is corrupted.
It's hard for me to imagine that. The way I see it is, people are still supporting Trump, regardless of the fact that he's obviously going against it. And he knows that's what his supporters want.
I don't know.
That's such a big, I don't expect him to win another election, especially after what he's done now, but.
Yeah, I think the coronavirus and this whole wave of protests has really stacked the odds against him now. Unless if that blows over by fall, which I have my doubts that passion will go away.
Do you think if it was Obama in power right now, that would have happened?
I think he definitely would have moderated the situation differently. Just because Obama was in power, though, didn't mean that there were people that weren't any less racist.
Yeah, no, I agree, but. Yeah. I feel like the political climate would have been a little more to the left and that sort of thing just wouldn't happen. Like, that sort of expectation that can happen that he assumed. I feel like that wouldn't have happened. It still did, but on camera. Like, he knew this was going to be publicized.
True. Yeah.
Man. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Do you know anybody, do you know anybody working in the in a COVID clinic or has had any experience with that?
I know people, but I haven't talked to anyone that's working in any of those clinics recently.
You know them from the city or yeah. Another province?
They're from the city.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know. I got a friend who's a nurse in Toronto.
Okay.
And I guess I wasn't really taking the whole thing seriously because we haven't had any cases.
Right.
I don't think we've had any cases in the valley.
I think I think in Western Nova Scotia, it's like at 53.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not.
That probably Yarmouth way, though.
Actually, I think it's mostly towards Bridgewater.
Oh, yeah.
But those 53 cases were weeks ago.
For those so-called U.S. listeners, Nova Scotia's only had about 1,000 cases. There's a million people, million some in Nova Scotia, and, the 1,000 cases thing. I mean, we've got a pretty pretty conservative, medical advisor in Nova Scotia, Dr. Strang.
Uh-huh.
Is it Strang? No.
You think he's conservative?
Not conservative politically. He's conservative in his decisions. Not much has opened up until just now.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
And regardless of the fact that we have the least cases, I think he's fully expecting a second wave. And I read some statistics this morning that was saying that another 900,000 people are probably expected to have COVID in the second wave in Canada.
Well, the 1918 influenza pandemic.
Yeah.
It killed in total nearly all of World War One and two combatants combined. And it killed a bunch of people in 1918. And it was actually the second wave, which was the deadliest.
Yeah?
Yep. So, I mean, it definitely shouldn't be underestimated.
I wonder if people fight back more when closures start to happen on the second wave. Because now there's sort of an expectation that it's not over, right. But that, you know, we've beat the climb of the virus, sort of.
What I'm thinking in my
I think people assume the plateau is just going to last, regardless of whether or not we're open.
What I'm hopeful for is, I mean, if there isn't any restrictions, what I would be hopeful for is that a weaker strain of the virus evolves, one that's much less detectable or symptomatic. Mm. Wouldn't mean it's any less dangerous for some people, but it would definitely... in general be a lot less dangerous. And if that happens...
Do you mean weaker or stronger?
Weaker. And then what would happen is it would spread through society.
Yeah.
And it would sort of immunize everyone against the more deadlier strains. Then that being said, I think a lockdown would be much safer than some weaker strain infecting everyone.
On another level, I feel like if... I wonder if it would make much of a difference. I wonder how it was with the influenza, but there's this 2 week of asymptomatic, you know,
incubation period.
Yeah. I wonder if a stronger strain may shorten that incubation period, and so within a few days people would have those symptoms, and then more quickly they could be tended to, and more quickly they wouldn't be spreading as much as one who is, you know, going about for 2 weeks without any symptoms.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean,
I wonder if that would make any difference in the numbers.
I don't know, honestly. The worst part in terms of spreading the virus is like that 1 to 2 day period before you show symptoms, where you're still where you become contagious.
It's only the few days before. The 2 weeks.
You're contagious during the period that you have the symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
But the 1 to 2 days before you notice the symptoms...
Are you saying you're asymptomatic, but you're not able to spread it during the incubation period?
Yeah, but really? It's more the period... You're not able to spread it while it's under incubation.
Okay.
Right before the symptoms start popping up, right? Because the symptoms aren't the virus creating the symptoms. It's your body's reaction to the virus that creates the symptoms. So I'm thinking in my head, well... If it's the period before those symptoms start popping up, the 1 to 2 days before the body starts reacting, that's the most contagious.
Yeah.
Because you're outside and you don't recognize that you're sick.
Yeah. I feel like I'd read that the entire 2 weeks before you were still contagious. You just weren't showing any signs.
Yeah, most people show symptoms like on average 5 days in. Like, it's pretty quick.
I'm traveling to Colorado next year, and there's this whole curious situation with travel insurance. They won't, you won't be covered for COVID because there's no cure. So if I catch it and, you know, it does actually affect me next year, then I'll be spending the better part of, you know, $100,000 just paying off hospital debts.
Wow.
Huh. Everything else is covered, and somehow I think I'll be able to get across the border without COVID coverage, but it's kind of frustrating that
we
won't get that.
I think you'll just have to hope that there's not a second wave coming.
Yeah. Well, my hope is that where I am, I'll be isolated enough. And I'm also going to Colorado, where Colorado hasn't had all too many cases, actually.
Okay.
And they've done a pretty good job of locking it down, kind of like Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
Ontario is letting people freely in. My brother was driving to Ontario, and he went through New Brunswick, and New Brunswick actually stopped him and said and asked where he was going, and he said he was going to my brother's in New Brunswick for a day, and they wouldn't let him go anywhere. He had to drive straight to Ontario, and then Ontario just let him through. Because they have so many cases, I guess they're not really screening all that much. But the first thing I'd ever seen in real life with COVID was... the testing clinic at the hospital. I hadn't seen anything before. So everything kind of...
Oh, you saw the testing clinic?
Yeah, it's outside. It's
Did you take a test?
Drive in with your car. No, I was just walking by. You drive by with your car
in
this tent.
In Berwick there.
Yeah,
with all those white tents there.
Yeah. And it's funny because I hadn't seen anything real until now. I'd only seen the news, but... It is kind of wild. It's like watching Pandemic over, or what's that movie? I think it's Pandemic.
World War Z?
I've seen that one too. That one's a little unrealistic, but yeah. I did like that movie at the time. Yeah. Damn. Well, we've covered the biggest topics. This year has been a shit show for the entire year, it seems like.
Yeah. I'm missing out on my trip to South Korea. That bugs me.
Okay.
Yeah. It still bugs me.
Yeah, for some, you know, we don't get to travel, but for others it's a lot worse.
Yeah.
People are actually affected firsthand. Yeah, for sure. And there's some countries that can't even lock down their people.
Yeah.
Considered like some countries in Africa with no control on their people and probably no awareness, no Wi-Fi,
no testing,
no like... TV, nothing to see and hear those reports, nothing to solidify the statistics that everybody's talking about. I imagine for some people in poorer areas all over the world, even, you know, Indonesia. I feel like Indonesia is somewhat developed, but only because of
it's developing,
manufacturing.
Yeah. A lot of those countries have... I think the mentality of a lot of these countries is that they have worse problems to deal with.
I don't know. They don't really deal with their problems in some cases.
That's true. Yeah.
Some of the schools are already opening up in China and through Japan as well. Japan just had their second wave.
Yeah.
And it's like cubicles all through the school. Every student has like a glass panel all around them, and they're working on computers.
Wow.
And I've seen a few pictures, but I'm hoping that's not what it'll be like
it's
here.
Kind of like a scene from like Black Mirror or something.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Man, even this thing happening with George Floyd feels like Black Mirror. Like. It's hard to believe. That video is... I mean, I don't think it's hard to believe, actually. That video is something else. Like,
yeah.
There's almost nothing that's ever showed me the true motives of some people more than that video.
The good thing about living in 2020, though, is the fact that people can share that information. Like, 100 years ago, there were no 17-year-olds recording everything
they
see.
Even for the last 50 years, or before cell phones, there would have been no one to take videos of this stuff happening.
Right, it would have been, like, people would have... Maybe there wouldn't have been as much anger because people can't see the shock that comes with that sort of
I
violence.
Think this video is a breaking point, for sure.
Yeah.
Enough people have seen it, and it's not... It's a good video. You can almost dissect it in that it's a good video... it's not too it's graphic, but it's not graphic in the way that someone's shot or there's blood on the ground or anything.
Right.
So the video is almost accessible to anybody who's, you know, of age to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And so it hits everybody, and I think, most of the country's probably seen this video.
I'd say, yeah.
So I think this is, like, an absolute turning point, this one video.
Yeah.
Because things have been accumulating, this stuff keeps happening, there are protests, but now it's just full-fledged.
Mm.
And I hope people don't give up, because people could quickly give up on this, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder how these mics are playing out for people. Let us know in the Odd Topics podcast, DM, what you think of these new microphones. Caden got them on sale.
Yep.
2 for $1, $20. Something like that.
20 each.
20 each? Okay, so 2 for $1, $40. They probably don't look like they're worth $40, but they are doing the job. And they probably sound pretty good.
Yeah, I'd say they sound good.
Better than what we had.
I used it for a video project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're actually going to soon get an Anchor Spodcast.
Sponsor.
Sponsor. Which just works with the app, and it'll cover some of the fees for these microphones. And, I mean, it'd be nice to have some more sponsors as well.
Yeah.
We could always plug my wood company and stuff like that, but...
Uh-huh. I think...
we're nowhere near but big enough to have sponsors.
A lot of... Like, I find the number one factor for determining the success of a podcast is just how frequently... they upload episodes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, we could do this like once a week or something like that.
Yeah. Caden and I've been talking. I talked with a few people as well. I wanted to do like an episode every day all through the summer. Just because I think the more you pump out, like you say,
yeah,
and it'd be really nice to have it on YouTube because there's a lot more accessibility for small channels on YouTube, you know, and not just the friends and a few foes that are watching this. It'd be good to have it on that. But the more and more episodes, like you say, that we put out, the more views we'll get.
Yeah.
And actually, someone brought up that if we do so many episodes, we'll probably lose our core fans. But I think that's sort of missing the point. Whereas if we publish too much, then they won't be. The people who are listening right now probably won't be listening.
That's fine though. Like, I mean, if people don't want to watch our podcast, like they don't want to watch our podcast. It's our content.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. That was my response, and if they like it enough that they would watch most or, you know, every few, even though we're pumping so many out, we're still going to gain, and we might lose just a few.
Right.
So I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have, like, 100 views one time. I think the most we have is 90.
I think we nearly got 200 on the first
episode. Really?
Yeah, because everyone watches the first episode, right?
Yeah, okay. So unfortunately, we should really rebrand the sixth episode as the first episode so we can get some...
Kind of a shame because everyone watches the really cringy ones first, right?
Yeah. Although the first one was better than the second, and then the ones leading that until the sixth were pretty trash, I feel like.
Yeah. You know what? I just realized this is the 10th episode.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
cheers. Here, we're tapping mics.
So it's the 10th episode with some microphones. This feels pretty great. Mm. Kaden and I are still trying to figure out what exactly we're going to be, you know, what topics we're going to cover. I think we're bridging away maybe from talking entirely about politics. We started with like a list of things we wanted to talk about, but I feel like the fact that you and I don't really engage with the news all that much kind of separates from that. And the more I used to be really politically driven, and I'd always be reading the news, but more and more I'm backing away from it because I think in small quantities, that sort of thing is good to be aware of. But if you really just sink your teeth into it every day, it's
you become absolutely frightened about the world around you.
Yeah, and the people around you. Like,
yeah,
I almost don't expect any of these things to happen around me, but I don't trust people as much, and I'm a lot more cynical and negative, which I don't find plays out in conversation, and it doesn't play out just my life in general. So. We'll still be working on a way at, you know, just what we want to be doing. And god damn, it's a beautiful sunset. You guys are really missing out today.
Yeah.
What the heck time is it?
It's 28 minutes.
28 minutes. Do we want to keep going or what?
I don't know. Maybe we just want to stop it here for the evening.
I can't decide.
See that over there? See those mountains over there?
Okay, you know what I got? We're going to do a sponsor break.
Okay, all right.
And we'll come back in about 10 minutes, or we'll take a walk down the beach and come back.
I can pause this. All right.
So, everyone, we're going to take a sponsor break for the next 10 minutes, and we'll come back to you soon.
All right, see ya.
And a little sponsor break for the anchor team. Mm-hmm. Now... For those who are listening, and I know a few have been thinking about making a podcast as well. And a great resource for podcast making, which was the most easily accessible, cheapest, and best option for me and Kaden, was to use the Anchor app. We've only used like a few of their... the settings you can change up on that app, but you can record on that app, you can edit on that app, and you can publicize with that app as well.
And you can publish to quite a few places like Spotify.
Yeah, it was automatic for us. We didn't have to do any work to get it on Spotify. I didn't have to get any work to play it on Google Play Music or anything like that. It went right to all of those apps, and it will do the same for any of your podcasts if you like. The app is really simple to use. We do most of our editing off the app, but you can do it on the app. And it's like two clicks away. Any recording you have, you can put it right on.
Yeah.
So for those who are looking for an easy app that's absolutely free, give it a shot. I think it's on basically all platforms, and we use it on the computer just because it's easier to transfer files. But do give it a shot if you guys are interested in doing a podcast.
Okay.
So we're back.
Yeah, we're having a little campfire here.
We call it a bit of a sponsor break, but Caden and I watched the sunset for an hour and some, and then now we're sitting by a fire back home.
Yeah.
Something funny happened when we were at the shore. Had a date planned with a girl on a Friday night this week, and just as we're bridging that, the end of that sponsor break sort of thing, in the car. I look behind me, and this girl's walking with another guy.
Yeah.
But I hadn't met this girl, so I can't blame her. And I think it's pretty funny. But I think we'll probably still go through with it.
Hmm.
Who knows? Who knows? Anyway, we didn't even say hi or anything. It's just absolutely hilarious that that happened.
Do we want to talk about?
Don't ask that question.
Okay.
You're going to have to cut that out now.
All right.
We'll just wait and see.
Hong Kong?
How do you rationalize having your parents break up?
I mean, I kind of consider it, how would I put it?
And does it jar you, in a way for the future of your relationships? Does it give you a sort of bad faith in?
Yeah, that's one of my main worries, is like, my parents never really shown much affection before the divorce.
To each other or to you guys?
No, just to each other, right? And I feel like that's partly to blame for why I'm not too interested in dating girls right now. Just, I never really been that completely interested.
Mm.
I find it actually quite interesting how other boys seem to take large amounts of time and, like, change who they are and everything just to sort of get a girl. It just kind of perplexes me sometimes because I've never had that motivation. I know I'm heterosexual, but yeah. But how would I rationalize that divorce? I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that I consider both of them an adult, and like, I mean, they're responsible for their choices. And I know both of my parents, like, emotionally, they're always going to be fed up with each other. Like, doesn't matter if the divorce is concluded or not.
Mm.
So I just see them as two different adults. They made their choices, and I'm becoming a full adult, too. And they'll just have to take responsibility for the consequences. There were multiple choices along the path they were making that led to that bad relationship. And I guess they just know, one lesson I do take from it is the importance of sort of defending for yourself.
Yep.
Like defending, like, just because people push you around, you shouldn't let that happen, right?
Where does that come from?
I guess it's just because one of my parents took a lot of money for many years off of my other parent. He just decided to stop working, right? And because of that, I think personally it's not too right what he did. He does love us, right? But he's not motivated to provide any money. He really isn't. Like, for example, today, I was wondering, well, I mean, he's not paying for anything else in my life, so I might as well ask him if he'll pay for my phone bill. And he just contributed a really small amount today, so I don't know.
So, to you, it's made you a more, decisive person, you think?
I'd say when I'm older, I'd say money would definitely be much more of a concern.
I mean, in that one parent sort of let this thing happen. Mm-hmm. Is that where you think you're grabbing this sort of...
I think I'm going to be very weary of... I already am. I'm becoming more and more weary of people monetarily taking advantage of me.
Sure.
And I don't know, it's just... I don't want that to happen to me when I'm older because it's done terrible things for my mother.
Hmm. Do you think it, when did the, sort of weight of the whole thing, come on? Because I feel, when it first happened, it didn't seem to affect you all that much. I feel like it might have just been surreal to you at that point.
Yeah, yeah. There's a bit of denial, like you're kind of hoping for the status quo, sort of deny to yourself that anything's changing, but then like these big changes start happening in your life, and at an older age like I am right now, I'd say my parents provided a lot for me, a lot of tools to live in life, so I've been able to cope with it a lot better than if I were, say, a few years younger.
I think you're also lucky that that it didn't happen younger, because you'd be a lot more confused.
Mm-hmm.
And in another way, you're lucky that your parents are as involved as they are, because a lot of people, even at your age, wouldn't even be able to work through that. Not as easy, or not as
I know what you mean.
As well as you have.
Yeah.
Not to assume things, but.
I'm feeling pretty optimistic, though. Like, this fall, I'll be out of the house. I really am catching on quickly, actually, to the fact that high school's over. My years of sort of learning and integrating what I've learned about the world are, I wouldn't say coming to an end, but a significant piece of it is.
Sure.
So, I'm feeling pretty optimistic for myself. And I know both of my parents love me a lot, but,
I imagine you've lost a sort of trust in getting a relationship or being in a relationship, but do you think that'll make you find a better companion in the long run than if you were just willy-nilly, like most guys that you're talking about, you know?
A lot more picky.
Yeah.
I don't know, just the, after this divorce, I've practically lost an interest in pursuing a relationship. But I mean, at the same time, I've sort of had to look to myself, and I mean, the internet has been a great resource for me to cope with it. I listen to the Sam Harris and Jordan Peterson podcast all the time, and I really find the material they have sort of replaces that void. That I'd say my dad,
I think it
left.
Teaches you a way to feel a little, some of those podcasts.
Yeah.
A sort of like action plan.
Yeah.
What would be the reasons, if there are any, that you would want a companion? Like for more than sex, of course.
Like, I guess just company, honestly. Like, yeah. I don't know.
It kind of fills a hole that a friend can't. Although you still want, at least in my experience, you want your lover to be a friend.
Yeah.
So then otherwise it just turns to... You can't solve a problem with a lover, but you can with a friend, you know? Not in the same way, at least.
Yeah.
And then it's dependent on sex a lot more. You can't joke around. You can't have fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. all stuff I'll learn in due time.
It's a lot of these things you can learn with someone.
Yeah.
But when you're in a relationship, you spend so much time sharing your thoughts and sharing where you're at that you have to be a lot more comfortable with the person than just a friend.
Right, right.
And usually friends, you're probably more comfortable with friends at first. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not feeling too stressed about the concept of finding a girl, though.
No, me neither.
I don't feel like that anxiety bothers me anymore.
I don't see it anymore, either.
So, I guess it's just a matter of a time that I find a girl and I'll be like, okay, yeah, I can live with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that can be late, you know. Uh-huh. I'd like to see it happen to me when I'm much, much older. Mm-hmm. If I'm like 30 or... Unless I meet a girl that really wants to push my goals, I don't expect a girl to, you know, on either... either a guy or a girl, you know, when you're when you're just growing up and you're studying or you're building a business or whatever your choice is, I feel like it may sometimes it drags you down, or just you become comfortable.
Right, right.
For some, not for others, but.
Well, I think that's what was it? I was reading through a little article yesterday, and they were talking about sacrifice and commitment and how they're the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I learned... I hate to talk about relationships because I'm only young, but... Uh-huh. That's a big thing. Sacrifice is huge. And it may be like sacrificing something you like. It may be sacrificing... Like, it comes down to small things. Like, I don't know if you... don't like listen to country music and your girlfriend likes listening to country music, that's a little sacrifice just because, it'll make her, that person happier. It may mean losing friends because, I mean, you'd hope it wouldn't be, but sometimes your girlfriend can make you realize things about your friends, and then there's a sacrifice. It may be a lifestyle choice. Uh-huh. You know, there's certain lifestyle choices that you probably wouldn't have if you were with someone, and I think depending on how young you are, you can decide to sacrifice those things or not.
Right.
You know, if you're an alcoholic at 20, then a girl can probably excuse that for being a jock, but if you're an alcoholic at 40, then the decisions are a little different, you know?
Story, yeah.
And those sacrifices have to be made, for sure. Sometimes you have to sacrifice happiness, but I feel like that's only if you're unlucky.
Yeah. How much sacrifice do you think would be form of
I think sacrifice? It's constant, you know?
Yeah.
It may not even be the giving in at first, but it's the sort of thing where, like, later in life, I don't know, maybe it's a... It could be a money thing, you know? If your wife and you have to buy a house and you have to sell the car, you know, it's your car, you make that sacrifice, or... Sometimes it's emotional sacrifices, and those come in any form, but mm-hmm. I've made some sacrifices in my past relationships, and
okay.
Those make you the most happy, I think. You feel like you've done something for the relationship.
Okay.
And although some... I don't think in that way, but sometimes, you know, that it may go unnoticed, but the feeling of it doesn't go unnoticed. So if you sacrifice for someone and that person doesn't notice, you may not even say it because it should go unsaid, but later on that person will notice, or in the moment that person will just feel that you've done something for them.
Yeah.
And that reinforces that person loves you enough to do that sort of thing, you know. And if you don't, then that means you don't truly believe in that person.
Actually, I'm pretty sure there's a term for it. It's called the Zahavian gesture.
Okay.
Like, even in the ape world, whenever a chimp is trying to find a partner, they make a grand sacrifice of some kind to show to their partner that they mean business.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Like what?
I don't know, like, they take a bunch of fruit that normally they would have eaten, and then you present it to the partner.
Fair enough.
I give you my fruit, now give me your love, something like that. Meanwhile, in humans, it might be saving up money for a ring or a house or a car.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The ring is only recent, really.
Yeah.
It's all in... From what I've read, it's all a just an advertising thing.
It's from the same
like diamonds had didn't have the value that they have now, and for a long time it was advertised as like, this is the gift. This is you know, diamonds are forever.
Right, right.
And then eventually just kind of accumulated, and now it's become what it is. Not all over the world, but a great part of every developed country that is, you know, a concept.
Japan, Australia, all over the world, yeah. Did you know it's the same company that provides the diamond rings back in the day when they started the ad campaign? That it's also, it was run by the same guy that ran the Rhodes Scholarship? Yeah.
My brother applied for that. He was in the one of the last rounds of selection, but just didn't make it, unfortunately.
Oh, wow. That still says a lot.
It does say a lot, for sure. It was someone from his school that went, someone from Matt Allison.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah.
He went to Oxford, right? That's where they bring you?
That was the plan, I think.
Wow.
But Rhodes Scholar is a, you're studying for, studying alongside Oxford, but you're traveling all through Europe.
Oh, wow.
For the greater part of the year, so. And it's something like a... Anyway, as soon as you're a Rhodes Scholar, your life's pretty much set.
Mm.
Whatever you're doing. Yeah. The opportunities are endless.
I think my great-granduncle, he actually won it at Dalhousie. And I think that... But he actually rejected the Rhodes Scholarship and decided to fight in World War I.
Mm-hmm.
And then he died in Belgium. So, yeah. That's a form of sacrifice.
It's raining, guys.
Oh, wow. All right.
This podcast has seen a lot today.
I think it's not going to rain for long.
Hopefully not, but I don't know. We're probably going to pack it up. This is a great reason to end the podcast today. So as it began to rain, the podcast began its end. Have a wonderful morning, night, evening, afternoon, lunchtime, whenever you choose to be listening to this podcast. Maybe you don't follow the concept of time and you're just in some void. Thank you for listening. And go check out the Anchor.
Pretty cool.
Good night.